International Silver Company presents The Silver Theater. Starring Myrna Loy in Debutante, directed by Conrad Nagel. Brought to you in behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Conrad Nagel welcoming you to the 16th of a new series of Silver Theater dramatic productions. Next week and the week following, you'll hear James Stewart and Jane Bryan, and in future weeks, Andrea Leeds, John Garfield, Lee Tracy, and others. Today, we're proud to present Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's brilliant star, Myrna Loy, with Elliot Lewis in Debutante, an original drama by Grover Jones and True Boardman. And now the lights are being dimmed and the silver curtain is rising on the first act of Debutante, starring Myrna Loy as Pamela Bruce, with Elliot Lewis as Eddie Adams. The scene, the huge paneled library of the Marshall Bruce home, one evening early in December.
You see, Pamela, my dear, you see, while you were in Burma, I arranged everything. You will have your debut, and you'll have it this season.
But Mother, Dad,
we won't argue about it. For three seasons now, I've let you talk me into putting it off. This time, I'm determined.
I see. In other words, one more year and I'll be practically an old maid.
Now, Pam, girl, you know what this means to your mother.
But how about what it means to me, Dad? I don't want a debut.
That's nonsense.
It's not nonsense. Look, Mother, all these traditions, the whole social setup, I suppose they're important for people who want them, but I don't. I want something else out of life.
Any idea just what?
Freedom. The freedom that comes with not being tied down to a famous family or a famous fortune.
Oh, and you think money stands in the way of this freedom you're after?
I know it does. Oh, please, Mother, Dad, forget this debut business. Let me just go out on my own and hunt for a job. Not as Pamela Bruce, but as, well, as Paula Barton, a girl nobody ever heard of. At least let me try it. If I star, well, that's up to me.
Pamela, I listen to no more of this. You're being romantic and absurd. I will have the party here on the 19th. I've already selected the orchestra. Oh, and your dress. It's going to be white and very long, sweeping the floor, in fact. Oh, and here's the guest list. You'll see that every person on there has been invited for a purpose.
Yes, I can believe that. Particularly all unattached males between the age of 25 and 60. Providing, of course, their ancestors came within three boatloads of the Mayflower.
Pamela, don't try to be funny. As a matter of fact, you should be grateful. There's nothing I've left undone to make this the finest debut of the season. Why, there won't be a society editor in the country to go from rounding and round the stage. My daughter, Pamela.
How do you do?
Mr. Cartwright Jr., my daughter.
How you do?
I wonder if I might have the pleasure of a dance later on, Miss Bruce. After the receiving, I mean.
Of course, Mr. Cartwright. Shall we say the ninth?
Thank you.
Oh, Pamela, splendid. You know who the Cartwrights are.
Not typhoid carriers.
Pamela, no. They're copper people from Montana.
How many more, Dad? I can't take this much longer.
Stick with it, youngster.
Well, I will if my feet hold out. They're killing me.
Mine, too.
Pamela, the chap just coming in. He's Boris Malikov, the young composer, and practically nobility. Do be nice to him.
All right, Mother.
Mrs. Bruce, good evening. Good evening.
Mr. Malikov, my daughter, Pamela.
How do you do? Good evening.
And my husband, Mr. Bruce. Mr. Malikov.
How do you do? Oh, I'm enchanted, Miss Bruce. Could I perhaps steal you away for this one dance? There are, I know, others waiting to be presented, but could we not let them wait?
Why, how delightful and nonconformist. Do, my darling.
Oh, you are so very kind.
Thank you, but I don't think I care to. Perhaps later, Mr. Malikov.
Of course, as you will, Miss Bruce. As you will.
Pamela, why on earth? The one man of them all I hoped you'd be nice to.
I couldn't dance with him. I've got my shoes off.
Marshall! Pamela, how can you, after all?
Because I'm tired. My feet are tired, and my arm is tired, and I'm tired.
Pamela! Oh, Mrs. Bruce. He did arrive after all. Mrs. Bruce, Miss Pamela Bruce, Mr. Marshall Bruce.
May I present Mr. Ronald Stevens?
How do you do? So good of you to include me, Mrs. Bruce.
I'm sure you've read Mr. Stevens' novel.
Oh, of course.
And on this trip over, he's also acting as special correspondent for the London Mail.
The London Mail?
Quite. In fact, I was wondering if I might have a bit of statement from you this evening, Miss Bruce.
Well, why, I see no reason why Pamela shouldn't make a statement for the British Press.
No, Mother, please. I have nothing to say.
Oh, please, Miss Bruce, just a word or so. Your opinion of the importance of debuts such as this. That sort of thing.
Don't ask me,
Pamela.
Please, my...
Of course you'll make a statement.
I won't. Don't force me to, Mother. Or we'll both be sorry.
Pamela.
Easy, youngster.
My daughter will make a statement, Mr. Stevens. And she'll make it now. Well, Pamela?
All right, Mother. You asked for it. You can send this to your London paper, Mr. Stevens. What do I think of debuts like this? I hate them. I think they're stupid, inane, and deadly dull.
Pamela!
Do you know what this little get-together is really for? To find me a husband. Well, I don't want to find my husband by showing off how much money my father has. The man I'll love someday will come and find me wherever I am. And whether I've got $1 million or a dime won't make any difference.
Bravo.
Marshall!
And here's a finale for your statement, Mr. Stevens. You can tell the readers of the London Mail that among the missing guests at Pamela Bruce's coming-out party was Pamela Bruce herself. Because at 11:30, she was fed up and tired and disgusted. And that she walked out on the assembled 400 and went home to bed. Good night.
Pamela! Pamela!
Hey, Pam, you forgot your shoes. Pam!
Marshal, I will not be put off any longer. You've got to tell me where she is. Pamela's my daughter.
Now, my dear, there's nothing to worry about. I simply sent her on a cruise to South America.
Don't tell me that again. Pam's not on any cruise. I've checked every steamship line and...
All right, Helen, I will tell you. Pam's in New York on her own, doing the thing she wants to do, finding out what it's like on the other side of the
coast. Marshal, you didn't encourage her in that absurd idea.
You bet I encouraged her. She's doing all right, too. She found herself a job. Your daughter is now Paula Barton, sales girl in a dress shop at a salary of $14 a week.
$14 a week? But aren't you ashamed to have a daughter?
Ashamed? I'm proud. Proud to know there's at least one member of this family that still has a little gumption.
Is that so? Well, the next time you go to see her, I'm going along with you.
Go to see her. I haven't seen Pam since she left here the morning after the party.
But you seem to know everything that's happened to her.
Well, I've had detectives keeping eyes on her just to be sure she's all right.
Well, that's at least a little better. Now, if we're going to be able to get...
I said I had detectives watching her. I stopped them the day she got a job.
Oh, Marshal.
Now, look, Helen. Between us, we've run Pam's life too long. If she really needs us, she'll come to us. But just as long as she wants to be on her own, she's going to be. And she has my blessing.
Something like it. But why you had to make me try on everything in the place to find it, I don't know.
I'm glad you like it, madam.
And don't you? Well, surely you agree that this looks better on me than that blue atrocity.
We want you to be pleased.
Young woman, I ask you a question. Do you still like the blue dress better?
Well, I do think the blue one's in better taste. Horizontal stripes are all wrong for your type of figure.
Young woman, are you trying to tell me how to dress?
It's not that, madam. But when you ask my
don't
opinion...
Don't try and deny it, young woman. Floor walker? I want the floor walker.
Please, madam, don't. I'll get fired.
You certainly will. Floor walker?
But you don't understand.
Yes, madam. Is there something I can do?
There certainly is. This stupid sales girl of yours has dared to insult me. I have been a customer of Martine's for 14 years.
Please.
And I... Oh,
please, Mr. Adams, she misunderstood.
Be quiet, young woman. You needn't lie. I've seen your kind before. Have you
just a minute, madam. Do you want another sales girl?
Another sales girl? No, but I certainly want this one discharged. She said this dress I chose, the only decent one that you have in stock, was in bad taste. And
well, she was right. It is in bad taste. It's terrible, and it looks like a tent on you. If you want to know the truth, that's it.
Well, Mr. Adams...
Our sales girl's jobs are to help the customers, madam, not to be shouted at. If you don't like the service here, you'd better go someplace else. There's an awning store down in the next block. You might try there.
Mr. Martine, this man here...
Not a word, madam, I heard. Well, Mr. Adams, and you, young woman... What have you to say for yourselves?
Please, Mr. Martin.
I'll tell you what we've got to say. We quit. We wouldn't work in a store where there's a penalty for telling the truth. It just happens we believe in freedom, don't we, Miss Barton? I said, don't we, Miss Barton?
Huh? Oh, sure we do.
So you can take your ladies ready-to-wear extra-large sides for matron's department and... and throw it in the East River. Come on, you. Well, are you coming or aren't you?
Sure. Sure I am. And Mr. Martine, what he said goes double for me. You can take the whole store and do what he said with it. What we want is freedom.
Well, it's open. Take your pie out. Have you ever eaten an automat before?
No. That is, of course. I've got it.
Oh, come on. We'll sit here.
You certainly are a happy person to have lunch with.
Yeah? Maybe I should cheer because I'm out of a job. Fine business. Wrecks the whole works. I was in the money, do you know that? Right up amongst them.
Really?
$286.47. That's what I had in the bank. Another month would have made it $300.
Well, I'm sure some other store will need a floor walker.
A floor walker? Say, wait a minute. You don't think I'd take a job like that again, do you?
Well, I...
Do I look like a floor walker?
Not exactly, no,
I took that job because I had to. Every laboratory in New York was laying off men last year.
Laboratory?
The chemistry, that's my job. Had 2 years of petroleum engineering at Columbia Extension, but when Dad had to quit work, I gave it up.
Is your father a chemist, too?
30 years. He was one of the first men in the country to work on the cracking process to build octane rating. Then that's Greek to you. But we've got something now that's really important. All we need is a lab of our own for research. Ever think what's the worst thing about city life these days?
What?
Carbon monoxide. The poison that comes out of the exhaust of 100,000 automobiles. Well, we're going to stop that because I've got a way to absorb those fumes. Chemically, I mean. Oh, it's been tried before, but it wasn't practical. My method would be.
It sounds wonderful.
It is wonderful. That's my dream, to make every city in the country a... Hey, why should I be telling you all this?
Go on. I think it's swell, Mr. Adams.
Nix, Eddie. People who get fired together should always use first names. Hey, what is your first name, anyway?
It's Paula.
Paula? Don't like it. I never like girls' first names that don't begin with M or J. I'll call you Jane.
But my name...
And don't argue. Yeah, hurry and finish eating, and we'll start looking for jobs.
Oh, will we?
Unless you'd rather starve. What are you looking in your purse for?
I want some more to eat.
Why didn't you say so? Here, this lunch is on me, and you're not spending your own nickels. How many do you want?
Just one. I want ice cream on my pie.
Ice cream on your pie. Here, give me that nickel back. The pie's got cheese on it, hasn't it? That's enough. You've got to learn to save your dough. Here, let me see your purse.
Hey, keep out of there. I've all been...
Oh, I thought so. $2.87. And no job. When's your rent paid due?
That's none of your business.
Till tomorrow, isn't it? So you're practically broke and have no place to live. Well, that settles it. You're coming home with me. We've got a back bedroom we've been trying to rent, but nobody take it because the window won't open. You can sleep there.
Now, look here, Mr. Eddie Adams. If you think I'll let you run my affairs just any way...
Sure you will. Somebody's got to run them. How far do you think anybody'd get in this town if they didn't have someone else for a boss?
Except you, of course. Nobody bosses you.
Oh, no? Where did you see Mom go to work on me? And on you, too. Come on, let's go.
Stay? Of course you'll stay. There's no argument about it.
See, what did I tell you, Jane? Oh, I forgot, Mom. Her name's Paula, but I'm calling her Jane.
But, Mrs. Adams, you don't understand. It's really my fault that Eddie lost his job.
Nonsense. He's a hothead. He's always...
Oh, hello, Dad. How do you feel? Did you see the doctor today? What did he say?
About the same, Eddie. He still can't tell much.
This is Paula Barton, Dad, the girl Eddie phoned about. She's going to stay with us.
Oh, but Mrs. Adams, I can't impose on you.
Impose nothing, why? You take the back room. You can pay $9 a week with board when you start back to work and help me with the dishes. Now it's all settled.
Well.
So you're not going to be bossed, huh? That's what you think. Come on, I'll show you your room.
Now, Eddie, wait a minute.
Huh?
Paula. Of course, you don't have to stay if you don't want to. But if you do want to, you're more than welcome.
You're swell to ask me. All of you. And I will stay. I'd love to. I think this is just the place I've been looking for.
So the silver curtain falls on Act One of Debutante. Before Myrna Loy and Elliot Lewis continue with Act Two, we'd like to offer a suggestion to you, the hostess.
Jewelers' windows, perhaps on the dinner table of a friend. But I wonder how many of you know, from your own experience, how everlasting its rich, warm, lustrous beauty is. If you don't know, if you've never owned sterling silver, may I suggest that you visit your silverware dealer tomorrow, Monday, and talk with him? You'll be surprised at the things he can tell you. Pleasantly surprised. For you can get a complete service of exquisite solid silver, international sterling silver, on payment terms adapted especially to your income. Or you can start by getting one of International Sterling's lovely me-to-you sets and build your own solid silver service by adding a set a month. Now, these me-to-you sets come in a wide variety of patterns. Among them, the popular and lovely Enchantress. Look at all of them and make your choice. For when you see the grace and luster of International Sterling designs, when you realize that you can get a place setting for one person, six lovely pieces of solid silver for only $16.75, I know you will make a choice, that you'll resolve right then and there to own a complete service of solid silver by International Sterling. Once again, the lights are being dimmed and the silver curtain is rising on the concluding act of debutante, starring Myrna Loy with Elliot Lewis. Several months have passed. Pamela, now calling herself Paula Barton, is still at the Adamses. And in her life, in all their lives, there have been changes. But they're the subtle and elusive changes that find no real expression in what people say or do, but achieve a real eloquence in their thoughts. And so it's in the thoughts of Mrs. Adams, of her husband, of Eddie, and of Pamela herself, we come to really understand the changes that the passing months have made.
It's April. Eddie's still out of a job. He hasn't said so, but I know his savings are running pretty low. Dad seems to be getting sicker. Paula's still here, and she hasn't found a job either. Things are sure to change before long. Anyway, they'd better.
It's early in May. Paula got a job last week at a hat store, but Eddie's still looking. I wish he could work on that idea of his and that I was well enough to help him. The doctor still won't say about me. I wish he would. It's not knowing that makes it hard.
It's the 10th of June. I got a job in a refinery over in Jersey. Paula, funny, I call her Jane, but I always think of her as Paula. No, Paula's still here. Somehow I can't quite think straight when it comes to Paula. Wish I could tell her so. Her birthday's next month, the 6th. She thinks I don't know. Dad's not any better. He worries me.
It's July 5th. I got a raise last week. One more, and Eddie and I between us will be making enough to... Why should I think things like that? Eddie hasn't said anything. And anyway, he's got to get that laboratory he wants. Besides, his dad is sicker all the time. It worries me. Tomorrow's my birthday, and Eddie doesn't know. I almost told him that he'd want to get me something, and I know he can't afford it. But gosh, I wish he would.
Eddie, you didn't. Oh, it's swell, Eddie. I've never seen a grander bracelet.
Only garnets, not diamonds or emeralds like you ought to have. But anyway, it's real. Fake jewelry doesn't go with you. I'm never going to let you wear it. Now get your hat. We're on our way.
On our way?
Sure, it's your birthday, isn't it? Well, this is our day to howl.
Eddie, you mean a show?
A show? That's only the beginning.
But your budget.
The heck with the budget. I don't care if it costs $5. We're going to split this town wide open.
Coming clear to Yonkers just to see a carnival. And at this hour, we ought to go home.
Thanks. No birthday's complete without a ride in a Ferris wheel. Come on.
Yes, sir. It's a dime a ride, sir. Dime
a
ride.
Here's a buck, buddy. That's 5 rides apiece, and we don't want to stop in between.
Okay. Up you go.
Oh, Eddie. You shouldn't have spent the money. But this was a grand idea. Oh, it's so cool up here. And look at the lights. And those ships out there in the river.
Yeah.
Eddie.
What?
What's wrong? You just sort of froze up all of a sudden.
Nothing.
It's not because I spent too much money.
Oh, don't be a dope. You think I'd care if you spent a million if I had it? I guess you think I'm tight. But sure I am, because I've got to be. Because it's the one outside chance I've got to win, because... Oh, let's not talk about it.
Let's do talk about it, Eddie.
For what? Where will it get us? There's nothing I can say that you haven't already guessed. Why, I've got a rush of words inside me that have been killing me for months.
What about me? Maybe I've got a rush of words I've kept inside, too.
Suppose you have. What do they all add up to? We love each other, so that's great. That's where the fairy tale ends. So we get married and live happy forever after. Only we don't, because this isn't a fairy tale. We can't afford to get married.
Are you sure, Eddie?
What have I got to offer you? Suppose we left the folks. What's the most we could afford and take care of them, too? A room or a single apartment? Well, you're not a single apartment girl, and I know it. Oh, Janie, don't you see? You deserve a little house somewhere. Anyway, a flat big enough to breathe in.
We could get that later, darling. I'll still be working, too, you know.
And there's another thing. Maybe it's old-fashioned to want kids. Well, then I'm old-fashioned. That's the way it is. Oh, we got to forget it, I tell you.
All right, Eddie. After all, you know how much you love me.
What's how much I love you got to do with it? Does loving you give me any more freedom to do the things I want to do?
But you have freedom.
Freedom, sure. Freedom to fight for every nickel. Yeah, money, that's the only kind of freedom that amounts to anything, and don't forget it.
But money's nothing, Eddie.
Nothing, huh? Have you any idea what we could do with $5,000? We could get married tomorrow. We could make a payment on a house somewhere. I could buy you some clothes, and I could get that lab I've always wanted. I could make every city in this country a cleaner, better place to live in. That's been my dream for 5 years, but... Oh, let's forget it. I love you, sure. If that's any satisfaction to you. I'm crazy about you. That's the end of it.
But it isn't. Eddie Adams, if you won't propose to me... Eddie, we're going to get married.
You're crazy.
Sure I am. You've got a dream. Well, I'm going to share that dream. You won't stop me. Why, you darn fool. I love you so much, I'd marry you even if you were rich.
What kind of sense does that make?
It doesn't make any. We'll go to Greenwich tomorrow.
Greenwich and spend $7 train fare? Nix. We'll get a license tomorrow, wait 5 days, and then go to the city hall in a taxi.
I don't care if we walk. Oh, Eddie, darling.
Oh, Paul, I...
All right, wise guy, a fine time you picked to stop this thing.
Well, Mom, what are you doing up?
Oh, Eddie, Eddie, where have you been?
Mother Adams.
He's dead. The doctor's been here since 4 o'clock.
What is it, Doctor?
Your father's had a collapse, Eddie. I've been warning him of it. Your mother says he hasn't told you.
Is he bad?
Very bad.
Isn't there something, some kind of treatment that...
Yes, a pneumothorax operation. Then months of complete rest.
The operation and all, Doc, how much would it cost?
That's hard to say, Eddie. Several hundred at least. Perhaps 1,000. Depends on...
Paula! Paula, where are you going?
Never mind. I'll be back.
So here you are. You know, I've been looking for you since 4 this morning from one end of New York to the other. Where were you? What was the idea of... Hey, where's Dad?
Your dad's gone, Eddie, and your mother with him. I had him taken to a hospital where they specialize in just the kind of operation he needs.
Swell, and I pay for it with buttons.
No, you pay for it with this.
Huh? Pay to the order of Edward Adams, $2,000. Marshall Bruce... Where'd you get this? Marshall Bruce, I've heard of him. What's he to you?
He's my father, Eddie.
Your... Oh. I get it now, and it's swell. Marshall Bruce's daughter, and you'd marry me even if I was rich. Well, that's funny. That's very funny. I bet you've had a swell time, haven't you?
Shut up.
Slumming with the Adamses. Finding out how the other half lives.
Shut up!
Oh, hey!
I might have known you'd take it like this. Because money's the one thing that matters to you. And you're too blind to see that all the money in the world isn't as important as loving someone.
Jane!
My name is Pamela. Call me that. And there's another thing. I told my dad about your dream, your idea to make cities healthier to live in. He'll lend you that $5,000 you need. He offered to make it $50,000, but I said we only needed $5,000, that we still wanted to be on our own, now and always. But you won't take that either, because nothing matters to you but pride. It doesn't even matter that I'd live with you forever in a furnished room if you asked me to. So you can take your dreams and your budgets and your kids and throw them in the East River.
Jane! Hey, Jane!
Huh?
I thought you were running away.
That's what I thought you thought. Oh, Eddie. I can't help it if I was born rich. Can't we just both forget it?
I don't know whether to kiss you or kill you.
Well, I wish you'd make up your mind to do one or the other.
Oh, Jane, Paula, I mean Pamela.
Will you just stop calling me names? Oh, Eddie. Darling.
In just a moment, I'm going to bring Myrna Loy back for a brief curtain speech. Before I do, I'd like to tell you something that occurred to me while I was standing here in the wings watching their grand performance. I was thinking what a charming picture Miss Loy makes of that preposterous little hat perched on those red gold curls. And how ephemeral women's fashions are, designed to last only a season or two at most. But designing silverware is a more intricate problem. For really beautiful silverware is designed to last a lifetime. That's the kind of silver plate 1847 Rogers Brothers is. Created with patient skill and loving devotion to the highest ideals of beauty and quality, 1847 Rogers Brothers is silver plate to be cherished right through the years. But since words are really inadequate to describe it, why not do this? Accept the invitation of John Conte.
Ladies and gentlemen, why not visit your silverware dealer tomorrow and look at the Silver Theater set on display in the window? For this magnificent 62-piece service speaks eloquently for itself. A 62-piece service that can be yours for only $59.75. A saving of more than $14 over open stock price. You can get this stunning set in many different patterns, including the sensational and glamorous First Love. Let your silverware dealer show them to you. Let him tell you, too, how easily and conveniently you can become proud owner of America's finest silver plate, 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate. And now back to Conrad Nagel, who is bringing Myrna Loy out in front of our silver curtain.
Thank you, John. First of all, Myrna, I want to thank you and Elliot Lewis and the rest of the cast for a fine performance. Then I'd like to have you meet our Silver Theater audience.
Thank you, Conrad. Thank you, everyone. You've all been grand, and it's been lots of fun.
All the hard work you put in, you call it fun?
Of course. I love radio work.
First Love?
That's a good point, Conrad. I do own First Love.
Lucky girl. And speaking of luck, I understand your new picture for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer is called Lucky Night.
That's right.
And you're co-starring with Robert Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
Lucky Bob.
Lucky me.
Well, you're coming back to Silver Theater again, aren't you?
I certainly am.
Lucky us. Good night, my Myrna Loy.
Good night, everyone.
Next week and the following week, Silver Theater will star James Stewart and Jane Bryan in another original drama by True Boardman and Grover Jones. Conrad Nagel will direct, and of course, there'll be more original music scored and conducted by Felix Mills. In the meantime, if you want solid silver, you want international sterling. If you want silver plate, you want 1847 Rogers Brothers, both proudly created by International Silver Company. All incidents and characters in today's drama were entirely fictitious. Silver Theater originates at Columbia Square in Hollywood. John Conte speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.